Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Our next one, it says, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Let me read to you from Psalm 63. Look how beautiful this verse that David writes. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. So the definition of hunger in the Bible, it's not that your stomach is growling. It's how much you want and how much you need God. And here is King David saying, I'm a king. I have armies. You know, I have women. I have riches. I have everything. But if I don't have God, there is just something that is missing. Hey, church, listen. Have you ever noticed that you can't have just one chocolate chip cookie? Have you ever noticed that? You can't have one. And have you ever noticed that if someone in your office or wherever you work, if they bake that one little pan of brownie, you know, when they're not looking, I know that you've taken the second piece. I know it's been you. I can see you smiling through all your masks. Okay? Have you ever wondered why you love this one particular song and you keep playing it back again and again and again? Do you know why? Because after about 4.5 minutes, it ends. Do you want to know why you keep watching that favorite movie, which I am very guilty of, that favorite movie of yours again and again and again and again? Because after 2 hours and something, depending, it's over. It ends. And we remain unsatisfied. So you have to hit rewind. You have to hit play again. You have to go back to the screen, to menu, to play, click, and start it over again. You need the other cookie, or you need the gigantic one full of M&Ms that they give you at Panera. For those of you who want to try and get your fix of 3 cookies in 1. A hunger that just will not be quenched. A thirst that will not go away. And Jesus, when he comes, he shows us that hunger. He shows us what life without God is like. And then he also shows us, but this is what it looks like when you put me at the center. Why do you think Jesus talks about, I am the bread of life? Drink from my well, he says, and you will be thirsty no more. And here we are, prisoners to capitalism, good and bad, right? A little bit of good, a little bit of bad. Constantly throwing things at us, and we keep tossing them in, hoping to quench the hunger. And we wake up the next day and we need more and we want more. It's only when we put Christ at the center that we are finally satisfied. Church, learn that word. Find your satisfaction only in Jesus Christ. But then he goes a little bit deeper. He talks about those of you who are well fed now, you will go hungry. You think you have everything you want? You have everything you need? Did you buy everything you needed on Amazon? Did you get a lot of little boxes at your door? Were you happy with that? Did you go to eBay a lot? Were you excited when your package finally arrived? You were clicking the tracker thing every single day and you followed it throughout the entire United States till it got to your doorstep? That's all you are going to get. So be careful. Find your satisfaction only in Jesus Christ. We continue. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and you will weep. Jesus keeps pushing things further. Now let's just clarify something, because there's this thought out there that for some reason you have to like leave your sense of humor and your smile at the door when you walk into church, where it's supposed to be very serious. And I grew up in one of those churches, very, very serious. Nobody smiles. And everybody wears black for some reason. Very weird, right? Like black suits and ties. Like, what are we doing here? There's a missionary, I'm actually, I paraphrase this for you, that I ran into, Oswald Sanders, who said, you should have more lines on your face. For those of us who are getting a little older and starting to show the wear and tear of the years, you should have more lines on your face from laughing and smiling than from being worried and being angry. Why? Because you know your Savior. Because you know what your God has done for you. That's why every time Frank, who's upstairs, keeps insisting that we buy a better camera to get a clearer picture of high def, I keep telling him no, because I don't want people to see the wrinkles that are starting to develop on me. So I don't mind being fuzzy online. That's okay. I'll keep it that way. Have more wrinkles from smiling and laughing because of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ than from being angry and from being serious. But let's go deeper there then. Jesus is kind of resetting us here. And it's funny how it's happening to our society. Right, what I'm about to say to you, you're going to say, oh my goodness, how did this happen? He's trying to reset them and us to say, make sure that you cry about what you should cry about and you are serious, you know, you laugh about what you should laugh about. In other words, our society is taking, and this is a totally fake seriousness, and I think most of you will agree with me, right? A fake seriousness when we have to somehow outlaw Dr. Seuss books. That makes no sense to me, right? Very serious. About something that should make us laugh because it makes little kids giggle. But then there are those in our society who will celebrate. They'll open up bottles of champagne when laws are passed that kill unborn babies. That is just something that we take serious. Not that we laugh and we celebrate because they passed a law that gives me some kind of free. Do you see the difference? People laugh and they celebrate when another church closes. They laugh and they celebrate when another pastor has to disappear off into the woodwork because something happened. They celebrate that. Our society laughs at that. And Jesus is saying, those are things that you weep for. So we've got ourselves backwards. Last week, when we saw the call of Matthew, what did Matthew do? He threw a huge banquet with Jesus. Do you think Jesus sat there with a straight face? No, he laughed, he talked, he told jokes. He was hanging out with the sinners that he came to save. Appropriate emotion for appropriate moment. When Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, then fast forward 3 years, and he's over the hill that he can see the whole city, what does the Bible say? He cried because he said, I tried so hard to love you, to bring you back to me like a mother hen with her little chicks, and you refuse, and he weeps. Appropriate emotion for appropriate moment. Do you see? And we've got it all backwards. All backwards. But underneath, because there's always deeper with the scripture, underneath the weeping and the laughing, there is a political overtone, just so you understand. It's there. Because a lot of people would weep at the fact that there were Roman soldiers occupying their society, that they were not free to just move about freely. And there were those who had cozies up to them, that's why they hated Matthew, cozies up, and they laughed at the sufferings of their people. You see, backwards. So let's say this, because the political overtone and what I said to you kind of indirectly, and I'm going to say to you directly, the word is justice. And that's a very hot term right now in our society, being misused a lot, by the way. People are not using it properly. But let's say this, those in our society who think that they will find justice by burning down buildings, harassing people, destroying businesses, will never find it. A, because they don't know God. Let's just start by there. And if they knew God, they would know two things. You can simplify this argument into literally the five sentences I'm about to say to you. When you know God, then you realize that on this side of heaven, there is no true justice. Imperfect people cannot create true justice. God has given us the intelligence and the know-how to set up a system to try to be fair until Christ returns. And then they would know the other part, that the day that Jesus returns, that the new heavens and the new earth replace this old heaven and earth, then there will be true and exact justice once and for all and forever. A forever fairness, a forever righteousness. But since they don't know God, they have no hope of that future. They have no understanding of the brokenness in human dynamics, that you can't get something perfect from something imperfect. So what do? They do crazy things in order to see if they can establish justice tomorrow, and they're not going to get it. And that is the tragedy of what's happening in our society right now. And that is why you weep, not laugh. And this is the backward, upside-down kingdom that Jesus is presenting to us. If they knew God, they would know that justice is coming and that he will take care of it. It is out of our hands. So we begin to close. Our last verse. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you, when they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Don't be confused by Son of Man. That's just a term that Jesus applied to himself out of the book of Daniel. So don't be confused by that. The other end of the spectrum. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. If you live like Jesus, if you live for Jesus, you're going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. And the worst thing in life is a let me not say Christian because we abuse that term in our society. Like we say in our church, a Christ follower. If you are truly a Christ follower, you must understand and know that you are going against the stream. And you will be rejected and you will be insulted. You will be excluded. Not my words, they're his. Notice all the adjectives and all the verbs that Jesus gives you here so that you understand that if you're going to really follow him, there is a price to pay. You will lose friends along the way. You will lose family along the way. You will maybe even lose a job along the way, all for his sake. But he says that if that happens to you, you are blessed. An upside down kingdom, it makes no sense. But it makes perfect sense. Because if you truly are an individual who realizes your need for God, and if you truly are an individual who will not compromise the word of God, then you must understand that you are being blessed by God and by Christ, but you will be rejected by this world. Be careful when you fit in. That's what Jesus is saying today. Be careful when you fit in. Be careful when people say, oh, I wish that I could be the kind of nice person that you are, the nice church-going person. Oh, I wish. Be careful. Because that means that they're putting you into their, this is what a Christian or a disciple should look like, and you're fitting my description. They should look at you and say, I have no clue how to make sense of you. Then you know you're onto something. Church, stop trying to fit in because you can't. Stop compromising and dulling the edges of Jesus to have some friends. Don't do that. Stop compromising what he is asking you to do with your life just for the sake of a couple of more Facebook friends or somebody to go get coffee with. It's not worth it. Don't surrender his word. Don't surrender his character. Don't surrender his ministry. You are blessed by him. You will be strengthened by him. He will give you more for standing strong for him. All of us in this room have had moments where we have compromised the word of God, compromised the character of Christ. And you look back on those moments and you regret them. You regret them. No matter where you are in your life now, no matter how nice things are, wherever you might be, you look back at the moments where you turn your back on Jesus, you turn your back on your word, and you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. It still gnaws at you. Not enough chocolate chip cookies to make that one go away. So, church, I say to you today, take the rejection. Because if you do, it says, well, the closing verse here, let me just read it to you. They kind of go in together. Rejoice in the day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. When you are rejected, when you are reviled, when you're excluded, when you don't get invited to that get together, when you don't get invited to that little birthday party, when you don't get called, oh, let's go to lunch with work people, but, you know, they forgot to tell you. He says, rejoice. Because they treated the prophets, men and women who would not compromise, men and women who had the word of God on their lips, men and women who made a difference, who made a change, they rejected them too. So guess what? You belong to that club now. Much better than the little birthday party or the lunch date that you missed with your friends from work. It's a better club to belong to, a better group to belong to. So I say to you, church, push harder. If you feel the resistance, if you feel the exclusion, go further with Jesus Christ. Because as you do that and as you stand firm and don't compromise, you are actually helping to save their life. Because you're showing them the other way. You're showing them a road less traveled. And you're showing them how there was blessing. And how God provides and how God protects. As you take it. Because your Savior took the rejection for you. You can handle a couple of thumbs down on Facebook. I think you're going to make it, church. I think you're going to be just fine. Great is your reward in heaven. Keep your eyes on the kingdom. Keep your eyes on the Savior. Keep your eyes on your Lord. Keep your eyes on your King. Don't compromise him or his word for anything or anyone. I want to leave you with these words from the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. I think we have it for you. This is Paul writing. Therefore, we do not lose heart. He's talking about this issue that we're talking about right now. Though outwardly we are wasting away, we're getting old, he says. Paul felt it. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That's beautiful. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Your rejection, your exclusion, your being pushed aside here is actually creating a more beautiful, a better space for you in glory. Look at what he says here. Don't miss this. They're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So church, I want to leave you with those words. And I just ask you one question today. What is it that you're building towards? Something temporary or towards the eternal? Because as I said when I started, and I'll finish with those words, Jesus was talking to the disciples, not to the crowd, not to some generic group. He was talking to them, and so he's talking to you. And he is saying to you this morning, invest and keep your eyes on the eternal, on the forever. And I will honor, and I will bless, and I will sustain you along the way. The Apostle Paul said it best. Momentary troubles, momentary affliction. Church, brush it off. Brush it off. Worry more about how God views you and where you stand with Christ than how someone on your great list of fake friends on Facebook sees you or thinks about you. Stand strong. Don't compromise. Be satisfied. And know that justice and wholeness is coming in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we say amen to that, church? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you did not compromise for us, Jesus. You could have taken the easy road when you were tempted, but you didn't. There was a word to obey. There was a plan to follow, and you did it. And I pray that you would give us that same Holy Spirit, miraculous strength, to stand strong, to not compromise, to be satisfied with what you give us, to know that hope and justice and righteousness are coming. Thank you for this table. Prepare us for it. It is a declaration of the fact that you did not compromise in order to rescue us. Give us courage. Give us strength. Give us a greater love for you than anything else in our lives. Give us a greater devotion to you than anything else in our lives. Give us a greater loyalty to you than anything else in our lives. Let us forget about the noise of what others might say and just be tuned in to your voice and your direction for us. Prepare us now, God, as we approach your table, as we approach the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, as always, a privilege to present to you and bring you close to the Lord's table on the first Sunday of every month. It is, again, our honor to do this for you and with you. I remind you that this is not the table of Redeemer Church Miami. This is not the table of our sister church, Palmetto Presbyterian Church. This is the Lord's table. And he invites everyone who has confessed with their lips and in their hearts that Jesus is Lord and Savior, to come and to fellowship with him. I want us to join our voices together in repeating the Apostles' Creed. It's the oldest of our creeds, a summary of the Christian faith. And we'll have it up for you here in just 1 second. So we'll join our voices together. And for those of you at home, you can join us in repeating that as well. Church, together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Church, before we come to the table, I want to encourage you to just take a few moments, and we'll give them to you, to come before the Lord in an attitude of confession. It is very important that before we partake of the elements, that we come to the Lord having confessed our sins to him. I remind you that we confess our sins to no man. We confess our sins to no church. We confess it directly to God through our true and greater high priest, who is Jesus Christ. So I want to invite you to please bow your heads with me for a moment, and we'll give you just a few quiet moments to pray. Bring any sin, baggage, anxiety, any worries. You can bring it all before the Lord in these moments. And after a few quiet moments, I'll close us with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can approach you with confidence because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Without him, we would be lost. Without him, there would be no hope. But thank you that you sent your Son to deal with and address every single issue we have, every single sin we've committed, that darkness within us, that he would redeem it, transform it, bring it into your wonderful light, and make us new. So Heavenly Father, in this morning, as we approach your table, we ask that you would forgive us. You will look down on us with grace and with love. And we thank you because we know that you do. The cross is a declaration that all has been forgiven and all things are made new. And we claim those words over each of the individuals here this morning. May their hearts be new, their minds be new, their souls be refreshed. May their homes be new. May they be new people, walking towards a new destiny on a new road because of what Christ has done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. It abounds. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. It's unending. Thank you for the security that we know that in our lives are in your hands, now and forevermore. And now, Lord, would you take these very simple elements, would you touch them, that they would nourish our souls in a miraculous way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.